96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher.
Say it loud!
In the fall of 1968, America was in social upheaval. Martin Luther King Jr. and Robert Kennedy were both dead at the hands of assassins. The Vietnam War made headlines daily. And James Brown's Say It Loud, I'm Black and I'm Proud was the anthem for a restless Black America. But it was also a time when a group of freshmen entered Howard University and formed a bond, a brotherhood that foreshadowed greatness and still sets examples for us even today. Well, one of those brothers is Jeff Burns. He is the author of the book, The Brotherhood of Drew Hall. Another is Walter Oliver Jr., a Howard University engineering professor and contributor to the book. Well, the lines are open. Give me a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876. That's 855-288-4876. You can comment on my Facebook page at facebook.com/Harold T. Fisher, or you can find me on Twitter at HFisherWHUR. Jeff, Walter, thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
First question, almost 50 years in the making, you guys came to Howard University, 1968, crazy time in American history, Black history. You guys were eager to take on the world, or at least begin to, but you formed a friendship. Give me a thumbnail sketch of how this came together, Jeff.
Well, we came, it was a common bond. We were all trying to move forward, achieve a college education at Howard. We specifically chose a Black university. We became friends. That bond of friendship began day one at Drew Hall when I met Walter and I said, "Hi, I'm Jeff Burns." He said, "Hey, I'm Walter Abbott. I'm going to be an engineer." And I said, "Wow, you know." But all of these guys, one said he's going to be a doctor, Arnold Washington. He is a doctor. He's actually a dean of the UCLA Medical School. He runs four hospitals. Another guy said, "Well, I'm going to be a pilot." He's the number one pilot in the world. His name's Anthony Holder, Captain Anthony Holder. The chief designer for General Motors is Ed Welburn. Ed had sketches of cars, futuristic cars, on his wall that no one had ever seen. Ed is VP. He's the most powerful Black person in person. He's the third most powerful person in Detroit.
So, General Motors.
At General Motors.
I've spoken to him. Go ahead.
Right. Mm-hmm. All of the things that they said they were going to become, they became. And most of the people came and were born in the South. And, even though I was born in South Carolina, people were saying, well, you know, people from the South, they don't have a good education, da-da-da-da. But all of these brothers that came from the South, they overachieved. One is the chairman right now of the architecture department down in North Carolina A&T. And his name is Ronnie Bailey. But not only is he a successful educationally himself, he is a father role model. His daughter has a PhD in chemical engineering. So most of these men are also husbands, fathers, and truly role models for young men. Mm.
The thing that I find so interesting about this, these weren't just a handful of guys. They were what? How many? 15, Walter, is that right?
Just about 15.
Yeah, about 14 or 15.
They kept growing.
They kept growing. And you know, again, you said this started as a friendship, but it eventually developed into what you are describing in the book as a brotherhood. But do you believe that this was specifically special to you guys, or was this part of what was happening at the time, and could it indeed have happened to anyone?
It could have happened to anyone, but it was specific to the times because we had the Vietnam War, we had the assassination of Martin Luther King, we had the assassination of Robert F. Kennedy. Those were trying times for the country. So we were looking for something. We were looking for a leader.
Mm-hmm.
We found a leader within ourselves.
Mm.
We found a leader because it was a time where we said, hello, brother, hello, sister. We need to do something to contribute to society. We need to make this better.
You know, at that time also, there were fraternities and sororities just like they are today. I'm a Kappa member of a fraternity, and you know, they call them the Divine Nine. We had AKAs go over here on Howard's campus just last week, for example. But why didn't you guys, you know, decide to pledge at least right away? Because I know some of you are members of fraternities, but...
Well, some of them did pledge.
Right.
But we have a closer bond than they do with their respective fraternities and or sororities. So, you know, it's just that close bond. I mean, we were eating together. We were hanging out together. We were hanging out on the wall. And you know what hanging out on the wall means?
Mm-hmm.
Down at the Quad. You know, we had likes. Jazz. We were going to Georgetown to hear jazz and blues. We went to concerts together. We were always together. But what's really significant here is that each and every single person that's in the Brotherhood of Jew Hall gives back to the African-American community and to Howard. I mean, Walter has made a career at Howard as a professor. I give back. I'm vice chair of the School of Communications at Howard. But we all give back in our communities, and we give back to Mother Howard. And that is true for every single person that's in that book.
And when speaking about giving back to the broader community, and here's the critical question, because it kind of goes back to what I was saying before. Could this have happened, you know, to anyone? Was it something that happened within the bond, in this brotherhood that now, in 2014, has you still giving back to the community? Or really was that something that perhaps had been instilled in you by your parents? Or perhaps something that may have come to you after you left Howard? Or can you specifically pinpoint something that happened because of this unit that said, when I leave Howard University, I will forever contribute to the community? And the reason that is important is because not everybody has gone to college, and not everyone has had the privilege of going to a Howard University, an HBCU, and I can go on and on. And yet there are millions of people, and certainly many in the Black community, that are giving back.
Well, I had a role model in my home.
Mm-hmm.
My father was a member of the 761st Tank Battalion, which is known as the Black Panthers. The unit, they actually have the... They received the presidential citation from President Carter.
And they were under George Patton.
They were under, correct. They were under George
Trained
Patton.
Trained at Fort Knox.
Trained at Fort Knox. You know, yeah, absolutely. I mean, there have been about five or six documentaries on them, five or six books about the unit. So growing up, he was always telling me about this unit that he belonged to, the Black Panthers. And, you know, and they were the original Black Panthers. So when I got to Drew Hall and I started meeting these guys, we had like ideas, as Walter already said. I mean, we grew up knowing that we heard about four little girls being bombed in Birmingham, losing their lives. They were the same age as we were.
Mm. We're going to talk more about this and how the bonds of brotherhood and indeed sisterhood can really affect your life many, many years down the road. Lines are open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810 outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876. We'll be back in just a bit.
Out of sight. Oh. It's the beginning of my end.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're discussing how strong early bonds of brotherhood can impact your life even today. My guests are Jeff Burns, author of The Brotherhood of Drew Hall, and Walter Oliver, Jr., Howard University engineering professor and contributor to the book. Lines are open at 202-319-7810. That's 202-319-7810. Outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876. That music right there, the beginning of my end, classic soul. We played it here on WHUR on The Quiet Storm, but it is particularly important to this brotherhood that you write about. Why so?
Well, Al Johnson was one of the contributors to the book. He is an original member of the Unifix, and we're actually dedicating this segment to him. These guys actually practiced in Drew Hall.
Mm-hmm.
So we're living in Drew Hall, and these guys are practicing, and they're, you know, their songs, of course, started playing on WHUR when WHUR was launched.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a fascinating time. We also had members of Donald Byrd and the Blackbirds who lived in Drew Hall, and Richard Smallwood and the Howard Gospel Choir. So it was just a phenomenal time, phenomenal place culturally and everything. But the Unifix, you know, we lost a really great person. You talk about
last
classic
year.
R&B. Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. Classic R&B. Mm-hmm. Unifix is the best of the best.
For those these days who talk about, let's just talk about brotherhood, and for the sisters out there, we're not, you know, negating sisterhood, but in this particular case, you know, we don't often see friendships, you know, celebrated black male friendships these days. Unfortunately, we're more likely to hear about gangs than we are about young black men and how they positively influenced each other. Was this by design, Walter? Obviously, you met him and you shook hands, but then, you know, after that, you know, most young people these days may keep on about their business.
I'm not so sure if it was by design,
mm-hmm.
but it was by circumstance. Here we are, young brothers from all parts of the country, and we were in D.C., and to get to Howard at that time, we had to pass through all of the places that had just been burnt down.
Mm-hmm.
So in our hearts, we kind of knew that we had to bond together. It would be nothing for us to pull money together to go up to, say, the old Thrifties or the old sub sandwich place to get food. It would be nothing for us to share our thoughts on what it took to pass a course, philosophize, what is this new thing called a sexual revolution, things like that.
Gosh, you guys sounded so boring. You know, I mean, my goodness, so intense. Please tell me there was a joke or two somewhere in all of that.
Of course, there were a lot of jokes. I mean, we party like everyone, you know, like everyone else. I mean, we were, you know, we were hanging around the quad, you know, meeting women from down at the quad, going to all the parties and stuff. But, you know, what's really interesting is that this brotherhood, we have been there for each other through all significant rites of passage in life, life's deaths, marriages, births, etc. And that continues.
We're going to continue this conversation on the other side. If you're on the phone, the Daily Drum will continue. So please hang on. We'll be back on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. Stay with us. More of this conversation in just a bit.
A Saturday night, my love.